On this episode of the Real Life Caddy Podcast, Big G and Zabo are joined by more fresh meat off the bench. They're joined by rookie caddy and podcast groupie Nick LaFountain. Nick only started caddying last year, but he loves the part-time gig and loves the podcast even more. The boys are always looking for new insight from a range of caddy experiences, so why not? As always, caddy stories bring up some great topics and one in particular that happened to Zabo. You won't want to miss this one. The boys then have an interview with a guy from Oklahoma who is trying to play golf in every state before he is 50 and maybe you're a listener who can help. The lads discuss the ongoing situation with LIV Golf and then answer mailbag questions and listener shoutouts. If you have any questions or comments, please send them into social media or via email podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. My name is Kodiak Adams and I'm now a real life caddy. I'm a golf pervert, 10 handicap, and I love to listen to the Real Life Caddy Podcast while eating very spicy food. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
Episode 94 of the Real Life Caddy Podcast. This one is called Call 911. I'm with partner in crime, Michael Zabo.
I'm here, and great to be here, as usual.
And we also have another guest.
We do, yeah. We have Mr. Nick LaFountain.
That's right.
Is that how you pronounce it?
That's how you pronounce it, yeah.
In America, that's how we call it. But in France, it's called LaFountain.
I like that better, G.
Nick is a new caddy, fresh off the bench. Big listener to the podcast, correct?
Yeah, I love the podcast. You guys do an amazing job.
Well, I tell you, before we kick on, I'm always talking about, can you go on Apple, Spotify, leave a review.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 5-star reviews, right? It's not always candy and cream.
It's not. We get a few bad ones.
Bad review. Yeah. What, listen to this one.
Oh,
one
we got a new one? A new bad one? Oh, like, good. I like the bad ones.
It's been a while since we did an episode, Zabo, because that was
it has been a
probably
long time.
About 3-4 weeks.
Bring it on.
Right, so we got a 1 out of 5 stars on Apple.
Okay.
From a guy, Jimmy No Joke. Okay?
Easy there, Jimmy.
And he says, the title of his review said, boring, sophomoric trash.
Sophomoric?
Okay. Sophomoric.
I think I know who this is.
Right, I had to look that word up. I had no idea what it was. It actually means pretentious or juvenile.
Yeah,
okay. Learned something new.
So, boring, wow. Sophomoric trash. Then his comment said, unbearable drivel by a bunch of morons.
Ooh,
so, there you go,
wow.
Zabo.
Wow. What was his name?
It's Jimmy No Joke.
Yeah, I know who that is. We'll
it might be later. Someone I got into it with on Twitter.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure
but
it was.
1 out of 5. But hey, listen, if you do enjoy the podcast, please go out and give us a star rating. And it doesn't matter. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just
yeah,
be honest.
Even if you don't, I like to hear the hate mail too.
Be honest. Okay, so Nick, you're a new caddy.
Yes, sir.
How long have you been caddying for?
A year. Coming up on a year.
Wow. Okay. Uh-huh. You do full-time caddying? Or?
Part-time. One day a week, usually either on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Wow, so you'll probably have a different perspective over us lifers on caddying. Probably all kittens and rainbows and sunshine.
Yeah,
for you,
absolutely,
right? Yeah.
Absolutely. I tell G all the time, you guys have the best job, and I think everybody that I caddy for would vouch for that too. They're so jealous of the work you guys get to do, and you know, for me, it's different. I get to go out there and enjoy the golf. I get to stop and look at the ocean, as G would say on the last episode. Is you know, for
you
me, it's more
that?
Play
He's
than
living
work.
Living the dream.
Yeah, living the dream.
Come on. Let's just roll it back. Roll
that
it
is
back.
The worst. Living the
you're
dream,
You're laying it on
bro.
Thick here. Yeah. Your real job must suck if this is the dream. Yeah. I've got to be honest. It's nice, but you know, come on. The real dream is you playing.
Yeah, somebody else carrying
your back.
That's
that would be a great job.
That'd be the
a great job. But okay. This is close to it, man. I mean, honestly, I think getting out there, spending a whole day out on a beautiful golf course, helping somebody reach some kind of potential, that's a pretty amazing job too. I know you guys have been doing it for a long time on different various levels, and so you have a different perspective, but for me, it's pretty amazing. The people, I haven't had a bad group yet, knock on wood.
Wow.
I haven't had a bad loop yet.
One day a week.
Exactly. That's the math.
Maybe I need to cut
know,
my jobs
exactly,
back.
Exactly. If you want to know the success rate, go down to one day a week. I haven't had a bad loop yet, and wow. So I've been blessed with some really, really good people.
And I don't really know you too well. Like, this is actually the first time I've really met you. You've been there for a year. It's funny how caddies just sometimes don't cross paths. You know, there's so many caddies
ships
now
in the night, Zabel, out there. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. But so how do you know G? How did you get turned onto the podcast?
Yeah. So G, I want to say it was my third or fourth round. And I got paired up with G. Didn't know who he was. Just this big guy comes out. And so we both had
big guy.
Medium size.
We had a husband and wife duo friends come out. And so, you know, about the third or fourth hole, I was just in awe of this man. Just in awe.
Hold on. Please stop. What the hell did you get? You're bringing these people on here to shill for you? He's like, hey, what do you? I'm in awe of Big G. He's such a good caddy. In awe? You were in awe of this guy?
I love this. Okay.
You know, as a new caddy, you've got every gizmo and gadget. I got books and range finders and everything to try to help me learn the course and distances.
G was digging into you for that, I'm sure.
You know, he was very friendly, very helpful.
Wow. Yes.
But to watch him make reads and make calls just walking up to the ball, as a new caddy, as somebody who loves golf, that's pretty amazing to see. And so I learned more from him in that one day than I did in any of my caddy training. And I still am in awe of the experience I saw that day.
Wow.
And what he was able to do, especially with the couple that we had.
Gee, you look like you're going to float out of here.
One out of five. Boring sophomoric trash, unbearable drivel by a bunch of morons. Yeah, well,
Nick would tend to disagree with you there.
Nicola Fountain doesn't think that. Jimmy, no joke.
I would disagree. And, you know, they've blocked my username so many times because I've been giving so many five-star reviews. I've kind of run out.
Do you just follow him around and praise him all the time?
I do.
I mean, I do.
I like that. You know, yeah. Hey. Listen.
Well, next podcast, I'm bringing on a guest that likes Zabo as much as Nick likes G here.
Hey, listen, bring whoever you want. It's we also have to say that this is on YouTube. We're doing a YouTube clip finally. So
this is a whole new setup for us.
That's why you guys brought the good looking guy in.
Apparently, yeah.
Well, we both have faces for radio. That's for you. But we have Kodiak. And Kodiak is also a now qualified scumbag.
He is. Sorry, an caddy. Official caddy, yeah. Scumbag caddy.
So congratulations, Cody, on passing the test. And he told me the other week he's on a tear. He's had four or five jobs all off a cart, and he's in the absolute tear.
Hey, it happens.
So I have to tell you, boys, myself and Cody went up to Half Moon Bay. Okay.
You did.
We started doing some video content, so we're good to go there. We stay in the hotel room together, okay?
I keep on forgetting.
We'd go shooting video on Half Moon Bay on the ocean course on the Sunday afternoon. Then we go for dinner that night, okay? So I have fish and chips, a couple of beers.
Usually do, yeah.
Cody says, "Ooh, I'm not sure if I should have this or not." You know, and he wants like a Toledo or a Tasado or something Mexican.
Okay.
What was it? Come on.
Torta.
A torta.
A torta.
It just sounds difficult when it comes out. You know what I mean? It just doesn't sound good. So he is a torta, and he takes the first bite, and he goes, this is going to be hot on the way out.
Oh, no. Right? So not somebody you want to be rooming with, G.
We sleep. We go to bed, whatever. Not together, separate beds. And the following day, we go straight to the course. We're out there about 6:30 in the morning. We get done for 9:30. We go back to the hotel. We're going to actually, the pro up there, Darren Wall, he's texting us going, just go and jump in the course.
Wow.
Go and play. Fantastic.
Very nice of him.
We go back to the hotel, very nice hotel, and Cody grabs his gut and he goes, I've got to go back. So he goes to the bathroom, right?
Maybe use the one in the lobby, Cody. Don't use the one in the hotel.
Maybe use the portal in the golf course.
Keep that stuff away from here and at my hotel room.
It's called napalm. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Absolute. Just melts the porcelain in the toilet bowl. And he left $10 for the poor lady.
That was nice. Yeah. It probably wasn't
like,
enough, but yeah.
$10? Yeah. I'm like, there's
not a dollar amount in the world that's going to fucking save this lady.
I was going to say, $10 doesn't get me in the door. Yeah. This, you know what I mean? Come on, it should at least have been 100. Wow. Latest news from Half Moon Bay is they're knocking down the hotel because of what
and
Cody did.
And the Real Life Caddy podcast will not be back.
Yeah. We called it Call 911. Zabo has a very interesting story to tell us.
Oh my God. So this is absolutely insane. And this is this happened with probably the most faithful podcast listener we have, and we've talked about him many times on this program. by the name of Jim Atwell. Jim is also my father-in-law. So my daughter gets out of school. She's got a bunch of camps. She needs to be shuffled back and forth to camp. So grandma and grandpa come into town. We get a tea time at the big course, end of the day, very end of the day. And we're just a twosome. So it's just Jim and myself. We're out there playing, having a good time. I'm probably three or four up on Jim.
Have you had any hole-in-ones at this point?
No hole-in-ones yet. No one's at, but we do, so we come to the seventh hole, and it's super slow, as you know, at the big course, towards the end of the day, it's really slow. So we played seven, it's just a twosome, there's nobody behind us. We come back, we play it again and again and again, he birdies it. And then
you did?
No, he did.
Oh, how many times did you play it?
Like four or five.
Oh, sweet.
So that's he birdies it, we go to the eighth hole, I'm playing the golds, he's playing the whites. I hit my tee shot, perfect, right to the edge of the cliff where I should be. Jim does as well. I'm just saying.
Zabo's not short of confidence.
It was a perfect shot.
So anyways, he's a guest on this show to get his confidence up.
Anyways, so Jim hits his tee shot, and he hits like a 3-iron. I said, Jim, hit your 210 club. And he hits 3-iron, and he's getting back in the crowd. I'm like, what are you doing hitting 3-iron? I told you to hit your 210 club. And he's like, oh, that's my 210 club. And we're driving out there. It's end of the fair. So we're driving out to the fair. All of a sudden, Jim's on my shoulder, passed out. And I'm like, oh, Jim, you know, I thought he was messing around with me. I thought it's a real slow play. I'm like, oh, he's pretending like he's sleeping. It sounded like he was snoring. I'm like, Jim, what's up? Jim's not waking up. So Jim is out cold. I'm like, oh, no, what do I do? Jim's about, you know, he's on a good day, probably 250 pounds. He's in the car. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. I start driving in. So I'm on the eighth hole. We run into 14. If you're going to go down on any course, the big course is a good course to go down because chances are every other group, you're going to have a doctor. There's doctors littered through the tee sheet all day. Let's face it. Doctors everywhere. First group I run into, I say, is there a doctor in the group? Guy raises his hand. I'm a doctor. Drive the car over the cart path right to him. Get him on the ground. Chest compressions right away. Like CPR right away. He said we need a defibrillator out here. So they get the defibrillator, which is at the halfway house. Brock down. They shock him two times. We call, obviously, the ambulance is on the way, firefighters, they come, they shock him twice. He still doesn't have a pulse. So 15 minutes without a pulse. They intubate him right there on site. So he's got the breathing tube in him. At that point, they say, you can't ride in the ambulance. So I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to the hospital. He's a goner. I called G, actually.
You called me. We were actually in the golf course at Half Moon Bay.
Oh, you were? Yeah, man. Because I was out of it. I was like, because I thought at that point, I thought he was a goner for sure. I mean, he didn't have a pulse for 15 minutes. So I'm like, he's a goner for sure. I'm driving to the hospital. I'm like, I can't deal with the caddy office. She just called me off the schedule for the next couple of days. You know, I got to figure out this. Yeah. So we get to the hospital. My wife and mother-in-law are there. My wife tells me right away, he got a pulse back in the ambulance. So they got a pulse back in the ambulance. He came to in the ambulance. So he's intubated. We went in and saw him in the emergency room. He could, you know, he can't talk because he's intubated, but he was able to write and he was fine. 2 days later, breathing tubes come out. He has a pacemaker defibrillator and he's okay. He was in the hospital for 8 days and he flew back home and he's doing all right. It's amazing. It's incredible. Incredible.
That's a miracle almost.
It was an absolute miracle. And it just, you talked about that story not too long ago. I don't know if you heard that podcast. Oh, yeah. And it happened a couple of times. It happened to you on course, and then you saw it in the lodge. Yep. I mean, it happens numerous times per year. And you had said before, you said, you know, we really should get certified in CPR. So after this happened with Jim, I wrote a letter to the company, and they agreed right away. They said, that's a great idea, absolutely right, and they're going to put out a CPR course for all the caddies.
Perfect. I'm glad Jim's well.
Amazing. Jim.
All I'm going to say is, when you called, we were in take 27, and I got it absolutely perfect. One of the videos I was doing, it took me a long time. Cody will actually probably know.
So before I called you?
Just as you're calling, we were halfway through the scene, and we finally got it right. It was perfect, and then you called, and
You were in such a good mood, and then I was like, I called you, and I was like, I'm pretty sure Jim just died.
We're going to have to go back.
Did you answer the phone call?
Oh, straight away. I actually thought he was calling. To say, hey, listen, how's it going up there? Because we went up to Half Moon Bay. It was beautiful up there. It really is. It's a stunning place. It's so different from down here.
It is.
It's a different type of beauty. Yeah, it's beautiful. And the course itself reminds me very much of back home of a Lynx golf course. And the fog came in. So we're just mucking around doing stuff with the drone and whatever. And then the fog really came in. And I thought Zabo was calling me just to say, how's it going up there? And he calls me and he's all,
I had bigger things like, going on, dude.
He's like, oh, something bad just really happened. Yeah. I was like, huh? What happened? And he goes, oh, Jim just hit the deck. I was like, oh.
And Gordon has a lot of correspondence with Jim. Jim's a huge fan, as is his wife, Jean, my mother-in-law. Yeah. They're They're big supporters of the podcast, and we appreciate them listening.
Well, I think the thing to note here, and this is for the listeners as well, if someone doesn't have a pulse, it doesn't matter. It's about pumping the blood.
Oh, chest compressions. Keep the blood going. Chest compressions right away.
You don't do mouth-to-mouth anymore. As much as there's some people out there want to do it, as much as I'm inclined to want to do that, right? You've got to pump the chest, keep the blood going, and if you have to break ribs, you break ribs.
Yeah, and he did, like, a bunch of ribs were severely bruised, and it was gnarly. I mean, 15 minutes of chest compressions, and luckily, I think that's really what saved his life, because he was, the chest compressions started probably a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes after he went down, so pretty much right away the chest compressions started, and
if you have a cardiac arrest out of hospital, right, 6% chance of survival.
And that's exactly what it was too. A lot of people are like, oh, he had a heart attack. He had sudden cardiac arrest. His heart just stopped. Crazy. Wow. I mean, it's a miracle.
Do you know the song that you're supposed to pump to when you're doing that?
Somebody just told me that, but I forgot.
What? Do you Staying really alive. Like
Yeah.
Staying is, alive? Is it wicked? Okay, no, different. By the way, I got another email from Tom Fisher in Las Vegas. He's a pro out there. This is ripping you again, Zabo. He's actually.
Would you lay off Tom?
Right.
Tom or Todd?
Tom Fisher.
Yeah, Tom. Lay off Tom. What did he say?
He's had 13 hole in ones.
13.
Right. He got his first two when he was 11 years old, and he had two in the same round.
Two in the same round?
Which is something like 14 million to one.
And I'm sure, Tom, it wasn't on a par three course either.
78 yards and 100 yards. And he says the rest are completely legit as well. Two with a 3-iron. So.
Good for you, Tom.
And you know what? I have to mention David Heller. He's kind of Boston area. You might actually know this course, Zabo.
I'm sure I do.
He just texted me. He got a hole in one.
Waverly Oaks.
On a par four.
What?
It was 238 yards, so it's like you have to carry some water. 238 sounds like a par three, but
it is a par three.
Saddleback in Firestone, Colorado, hole number 16. But I do believe he's kind of
from Boston,
East Coast. So,
gotcha,
David. Well done.
Well, congratulations.
You ever had a hole in one?
I've never had a hole in one, but I got a great story here for you. My daughter, 5 years old, first golf course she's ever walked onto. Second hole, 56 yards, hits a hole in one.
What?
No. Hits a hole in one. 56. How far was yours?
Would
Sabo?
You stop? 48 yards.
Well, here's the best part of it: my daughter's excited. My dad's there. We're all just cheering for her. I had to put my arm around her and said, doesn't count. It's on a par three course.
That's what you told your 5-year-old?
You know, and my daughter took it like a champ. She understood. Doesn't count.
Wow.
Doesn't count.
Wow. Legend. She's a legend.
You literally paid him to be here, didn't you? You paid him.
No.
Oh, Big G's the best caddy in the world. That's hole in 48. My daughter had one that was 8 yards longer than yours on her second hole ever.
He has his own opinion, Michael. Yeah. He has his own opinion. Have you been caddying the last couple of weeks? Any stories to tell?
I don't have. Again, I've had the best groups, the easiest groups. I have no stories.
Really?
I've got nothing good, guys.
I got plenty. I got
material.
Yeah, I had a group from Scottsdale. Big group of 20 boys, young boys, too much money. Here at a party, okay?
Here at a party?
Like, party? Yeah. They were here at a partake in a lot. Rich and Dave, who have been in a constant group text for a long time. I was supposed to carry for Dave. He's the hookup, and I ended up carrying for his mate Zach. Zach is high maintenance. He looks like he should be on The Real Housewife of Phoenix.
He's that guy.
He's that guy. Yeah, good fun though. He could take it. And the first day, you don't want to say too much about what people are doing in the golf course, but let's just say they weren't just drinking.
There's more than just drink and maybe a little smoke. There's more than that.
Yeah. 18th hole, wee course, right?
Okay.
Guys on the front. He's had a little bit of an upper on 14. I'm trying to tell a joke and he's literally swaying. He's doing this one. And people find it hard to understand me when they're straight up.
Oh, for sure.
So he's ripped and he's looking at it and he's trying to focus. He could play good golf though. But he gets to 18 at the wee course, pins at the back, he's in the front edge. How much uphill is that? 20%?
Yeah.
25% sometimes?
Yeah.
So I give him the read. And as I'm walking away, he goes downhill.
And I thought
he was joking.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. And he was serious.
Wow.
He could not. That's how trashed he was.
Wow.
But But that was wonderful. Great couple of days with those boys. Zach had a what is it called again, Goriak? Torta.
Torta.
Did a torta moment. We're on the second hole of the big course. And we're about 2:10 out. And he goes, where's the closest bathroom? And I said, 4T.
Which, where was he, on 2T or like by the green?
Oh, and we're 2:10 out.
On the first hole?
No, second hole.
Second hole. Okay. So okay.
Hit his drive. I said, well, the fourth tee, and he goes, okay. And then literally 10 seconds later, he goes,
see,
we're going to go. Jump in the car, and we're flying across the road. We're flying across three.
This is like me driving Jim to the, that's it, exactly, to the doctor. Yeah.
Call 911.
Yeah, he had an emergency too.
Like he hit it there, and then he hit it again on four. So.
Gotta go, you gotta go.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, boys? What you got?
People. I'm just sick of people in general. I really am. I am sick of people. People do not freaking listen. And it goes way deeper, way, way deeper than golf advice on the golf course. Simple, simple little things. And this has driven me crazy for years. And it's finally come to a boiling point. So the wee course, you make the turn, you get your food. The birds are vicious. They're going to attack that food. They tell you when you get your food in there. They tell you when you, I tell you when you come out. I stand there, actually, I said, so you know, if you leave that cart and it is not under your seat, it will be gone. I don't care if it's wrapped up. I don't care if it's in the cubby. I don't care if it's in the back. Like, if it's not underneath the seat or zipped up in your bag, it will be gone. And it happened last week. And the two sandwiches, the father and the son, on both sides of the cart.
Both
sandwiches. And I saw it coming. I saw it coming. And they got out of the cart after I'd just given them a lecture. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to remind them. I'm just going to let it happen. And it happened. Two crows came in. Boom, boom, boom. Sandwiches gone.
Gone.
I told
well,
you.
Well, I put I my towel over it. I thought it'd be okay.
What did I say? What did I say?
Unbelievable.
But did they sick listen to your reads on putts?
They do. But see, then I had another one. And this one, they do. I had another one where this guy was really good. And Matty D worked with me on this one. It was a great group. Super fun. They paid well. One guy was a real good player that I was caddying for. So at the big course, he's got six birdies on the day so far. And we got a few holes left. And his buddy is literally 18, 20 handicap. Probably hasn't made a par all day. So he stripes the drive on 18 and he goes, got to go for it. I'm like, no, he doesn't. He doesn't want to go for it. He's like, I was like, what do you want to do? He's like, I want to lay up. This guy goes, you're 230 out. You got to go for it. I said, whoa, Steven, you walk over there. You let me do the caddy and you go make your double. I'll guide him into the hole. Hits his 8 iron to lay up. He literally, just to prove my point, he literally sticks it to that 4 inches. And I look back at Steven and I was like, hey, buddy, you want him to go back and hit his 3-wood? What do you think? I say, yeah. He made his 7th birdie on the day. You shut your mouth. You let me do the caddy.
Yeah, shut your mouth.
Yeah. I didn't actually say that.
I'm actually going through my green book. I just came up with another one here.
People are ridiculous, though. You get my point? People are ridiculous.
But dude, that's what we deal with. There was a scenario today where somebody did something in the green, and I watched it, and I went oblivious. Completely, they're in their own
mind.
What
did they do? What do you mean they did something?
He did something where he twisted his foot on the green.
Oh, jeez.
Pulling out the ball, and the studs ripped up the turf on the green, 4 feet from the hole. But, you know.
Clueless.
I have a lot more patience than you have. That's for sure.
I usually do. So my fuse gets shorter as the year goes by.
That's the Italian. Angry Italian.
I always thought you guys were opposite. I mean, that sounds like something he'd be saying and you wouldn't be saying that.
Well, here's the thing, Nick.
I say it on the podcast. I don't say it out there, but
But here's the thing, Nick. If there's something needs being said, I'll say it, okay?
Yeah.
I just, boom, there's no filter.
That's true.
But I do have a very high tolerance of nonsense. I have a really high tolerance for idiots.
You have to in this job.
Real talent.
You really have to.
I'm looking at my green book. That group I had who were, you know, not just drinking. David, he's on 18T in the wee course. And we said somebody had left a club. So you can, from 17 green at the wee course, you can talk to the people on 18T.
Mm-hmm.
And someone says, oh, you left clubs. And his mate says, hey, Dave, that must be yours. You were in the back bunker. And Dave went, I wasn't. We're like, yeah, you were in the bunker. And he's like, I wasn't in the bunker. And you're like, dude, like 2 minutes ago, you were in the bunker.
We were right there.
Was I? Yeah. I was like, I raked it for you. And he's like, oh.
You were.
I can't remember that.
Just fried.
There's also another little story in here that I'd forgotten to tell you about. Right. This is, you know about the green book. The Green Book gets notes, and sometimes I'm in the course and I'm rushing and I don't always remember what they are. The dude eating a pound of cherries. It's another story. Another story where we get to the fourth tee at the big course and homeboy says, where's the nearest bathroom? I was like, right over there. And he goes, I gotta go.
Freaking cherries.
I says, what's wrong with you? And he goes, well, you know, driving down the road, they go to Gilroy.
Get those delicious cherries on the side of the road.
I'm hungry.
Oh, yeah.
He gets a pound and a half of cherries and eats the whole bag.
They are delicious. Once you start eating those, really? In his defense, you can't stop eating them.
A pound and a half, Zabo. Yeah, that's a lot. That's like weight your head or your beard.
I agree, though. They're good. And Ralph's. No. Visit Ralph's. That's the one I went to high school with.
Who
Ralph's
eats cherries. A pound and a half of cherries at once?
Easily.
This guy who is right, ripped out of his mind, yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Someone spat in the
But not on a course. Never on a course.
Never on a course.
No.
Well, no, but come on. He's like, oh, I've been blocked up for a day and a half.
I'm not anymore.
No shit, Sherlock. Someone spit in my towel this week.
No.
Spat in my towel and wiped it.
What?
He spat in the dry end. I go to hand my hand, you know, give me the ball.
No way.
And he grabs the dry end because I get clubs in two hands and he spits in the dry end and cleans his ball.
Seriously?
Did you spit in his face?
No, I just gave him a dirty look as if he was going to
like you said, he's got a high tolerance.
I do have a high tolerance. Yeah.
that's pretty disgusting, though.
We have to mention that we're actually having some beers today.
We are having
delicious.
Beers. Definitive from my actually home region. This is from New England, actually. It's very good, actually. From Maine?
Yeah. Maine? Is that New England?
That is New England, yeah. That's Red Sox country. Good job. What's the guy's name?
Mike.
Good job, Mike, from Mike, Definitive.
I mentioned this actually before, Definitive, and he said that I pronounced it the wrong way. So it's Definitive Brewing Company. I am having the Conti, which is a Kolsch-style ale. That's a lager.
Yes,
very nice. And if you are interested, go halftimebeverage.com.
It's good stuff. Beverage.
And it's you have to have it shipped. Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Vermont, New York, Maryland, D.C., and periodically in Florida and L.A., what's that, Louisiana?
Yeah, Louisiana.
Orange counties in California. Ooh. And then also in Puerto Rico, Aruba, China.
These are like retailers he sells it? Or this is where he'll ship to?
That's where he'll ship to.
Gotcha.
So if you're in Maine, you can look out for it. But how would you describe the beer, boys?
It's very good. Nice and light.
Good. It is light.
How do you pronounce this, G?
Definitive.
No. The style.
Kolsch.
You were teaching us about that.
Kolsch.
Very German.
Kolsch. I would describe it as a very easy four caddy for four.
Absolutely.
Low maintenance.
Yeah.
Well paid.
Yeah. Anything doing their else? Own thing. Doing shooting own it thing. Themselves, you know.
Very nice. So Mike, grabbing their own thank clubs. You very much. And actually, anyone else out there, if you have a brewery and you want us to send us some booze, just get in contact.
Hint, podcast. Hint. We love free stuff.
At glorifieddonkey.com. Now, earlier this week, myself and Zabo caught up with a guy called David Jones, who is
fascinating.
Yeah, he's based in Oklahoma. And in between the next segment, we're actually going to play the interview we had with him. And then we'll put out a call to arms. Unless you boys get any other stories that you want to share, Zabo?
No, but oddly enough, you're going to play this. And then when you hear this from David, I talked about, you know, I may have a contact or two at Augusta to maybe get you on it. And it just so happens, David, that just today I caddied for that guy who is a member there. So I did sort of plant the seed. It's down the road when we get the 49 banged out. Let's save Georgia for last, and I will do my best to help you out.
Lovely. Beautiful. Nick, anything before?
Nothing for me.
You good to go? I've got something, but we'll play it after. So this is the interview with Dave Jones. Enjoy.
David, good to have you here on the Real Life Caddy podcast. What's your full name and occupation?
My name's David Jones, and I'm the golf course superintendent at the club at Indian Springs in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
Wow, okay. And what are you here on the Real Life Caddy podcast to talk about today? We heard there's some sort of quest out there.
So I've played every course in Oklahoma. I finished that up last year. And now I'm currently trying to play a course in every state in the country. And I have 10 states left.
Wow. Wait a second. You have 10 left. So you've played 40 golf courses in different. You've played 40 different states.
Yes, that's correct. So yeah. Okay. I have 10. So yeah.
So I'm sure the question everybody asks, I mean, what are the states you're missing?
So they're kind of in little pockets. So hopefully I can knock them out, you know, in a couple of trips. But I've got North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Montana.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that'll be like one trip. And then I have Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, Maryland, and Delaware. And then there's one particular one, Georgia, which I'm hoping to be my last one.
Ooh. So you haven't done a Georgia course yet?
No, I have not. I've been to the Masters, but I have not played in Georgia. I don't know why I didn't, but it's, if everything works out right, I'm hoping to be my... Oh.
Yeah, let's save that for last, and we're gonna make that happen for you somehow, some way. We're gonna help make that happen. You want the big one?
Yep, and I want it to be 50th birthday, and I want it to be my 500th course overall in the last state.
Okay, what are the numbers for Oklahoma? How many courses did you play there?
There was 215. I think currently there's only 190 that are still open, but. You know, I've played a few that have closed down, and there's also a bunch of them I didn't get to play or the courses that are closed down, but I played 215.
Wow. And you're 500 golf courses by the time you're 50. You know, that's a real problem. That's a perversion, I would call it. There's people you can talk to about this.
It's a good perversion, though. It's better than a lot.
My wife would like to know those people, too, because I might have a little bit of a problem.
What's your handicap, Dave?
I'm about a 7 to 8.
Not bad. Okay.
So what's your favorite course in the favorite state that you've played so far? What's your number one so far to date?
Oh, go for top three. Go for top three.
Yeah,
one
yeah,
is
that's true. That's yeah. true.
Okay.
Build the suspense. Yeah, 3, 2, 1.
Good point. Good point.
Just in the States or worldwide?
Yeah. Because you're just in the States because on this current challenge. Yeah,
this mission.
Well, my favorite course in the States is Pacific Dunes in Oregon. Just love that place. And then I've played Seminole down in Florida, which is a very nice course. I mean, there's so many good ones. I've played the Boston Golf Club.
You have?
Gil Hand's design. It was fantastic.
And that's one of your favorites?
Yeah, I would say so. It's
now, Have you listened to this podcast? Do you realize I used to caddy at Boston Golf Club, and that is one of my favorite courses in the world?
Fantastic. I've listened to a few of the podcasts, but you guys have got quite a few. So all of them. But
What a spectacular golf course that is. One of my favorites anywhere. I mean, that's Gil Hand's a masterpiece at Boston Golf Club in Hingham, Massachusetts. I mean, that's a masterpiece.
How are you organizing all this? Are you doing it through superintendents?
Yeah, mainly through superintendents. Which has been fantastic. You know, we've got a great community and almost all of them are willing to, you know, have you out and play their course. It's just been, I've been very lucky and very fortunate to play. Mm-hmm. I have.
So basically what we're going to try and help you do from now till November is use our pool as our listeners. Can you name those 10 states again?
Yeah, kind of again.
In a slowish manner.
Okay. So I've got Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, and Montana, and then I've got Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, and then Georgia.
So, okay, so if you're a listener and you play golf in one of these states and you want to help Dave out, you know, accomplish his perversion, you can how can they find you? What's your Twitter handle?
It's Golf Soup Jones. And then, yeah, Golf Soup Jones. So at Golf Soup Jones.
Okay. Golf Soup, like S-U-P.
S-O-U-P.
S-O-U-P. Okay, see, that matters. You need to seek out David and help him out.
Yeah, otherwise what you do is you just send us an email, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com, or contact us on our social media, and we'll put you in contact with Dave the Rave. Lovely.
That's an amazing mission you're on, and I applaud that. That's fantastic. Especially, I mean, when Gordon told me about this, he said we're going to interview this guy David about his mission to play. I was picturing a much older man. I was figuring you were going to be in like your 70s or something like that. You look like a pretty young man, David.
Well, I appreciate that.
He doesn't look a day over 68. Sweet. Okay, well, listen, Dave, thank you very much for your time. We'll catch up with you again closer to the time, and hopefully everyone can help you out.
We'll be in touch, Dave.
All right. Well, fantastic. And I look forward to listening to many more of your guys' podcasts. I love it. It's good
stuff.
Thank
you.
Thanks, David.
Dave Jones. Absolute legend. If you are North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Montana, West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Maryland, Delaware, Georgia, Zabo think he's going to have that covered.
Well, but if you have, there's a connection out there that can get him on the big one in Georgia, by all means.
But regardless, those 10 states.
Yeah, anybody from those states. Yeah, let's get it done. It's amazing. That's unbelievable that he's accomplished that many already. I mean, that's crazy. He's got 40 states already.
How many golf courses you played?
Golf courses or states?
Golf courses.
Ooh, I don't know. Somewhere up in the hundreds, for sure. Yeah? Yeah.
Okay, so you're a bit of a pervert?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Like the game.
How many states do you think you played in?
5 or 6. All in the West. And if you count Hawaii, each island on Hawaii, that's kind of my destination.
All right. Well, if anyone who's listening plays there and wants to help Dave achieve his goal before November 2022, email us podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. Get in contact on social media. Look for Glorified Donkey or contact him directly. He did give his name on Twitter. So I forgot a couple of things. Now, this is interesting. You're a new caddy, Nick.
Yes.
Okay. So when you're out there, I've always thought that when you're self-sufficient, but sometimes you might want a glass of water or a bottle of Coke in Zabo's.
Absolutely.
You know, he loves a bottle of Coke.
Only
one a week. Bullshit.
Bro, I've been drinking lots of Powerades. Cut down on the Coke big time.
Now, people, you might be hungry. You might get offered something. Do you partake in this?
I never take.
Huh?
Never? Other than a Powerade. I'll take a Powerade. Okay. For me, I use these Sundays to go out, walk. It's almost like an exercise for me. So I try not to eat, try not to...
Bro, you've never had that chili at the turn.
Yeah, so some of these new caddies, completely different school from the old school I went to.
Yeah. Right?
At Turnberry, you used to have to fight with a guy at the halfway house to get something, and it's his job to sell. Oh, sandwich is only for players. You're like, well, he wants to buy it for me. And I've nearly seen fist fights over tuna sandwiches.
My favorite story you told once was the guy who, the player who told the caddy, yeah, go ahead, get whatever you want in there. And he came out and he had like a pullover.
Well, we know who that one is. But something my wife's been telling me lately, because she works in the beer cart, and she knows what goes on.
Oh, yeah,
there's a couple of charlatans out there.
Oh, I bet. Yo, she's got all the dirt.
Oh,
we should have her on.
She should be on, shouldn't she?
Yeah.
Natalia, oh, you'd love that, Zabo. She'd love that.
Oh, Natalia, you're on the next episode.
So this guy said a couple of times, can I get you something to drink there? And the guy goes, yes. Trail mix, beef jerky, Uncrustable, and a Monster. I'm like, wow.
That's what the caddy said.
Hold on. Yeah, yeah. He's like,
yes.
Hold on a second. Like, wait, are you going to drink that? Do we need to blend that? Do we need to get the Vitamix out there to just like blend that so you can...
The player said that to him?
No, that's what I'm thinking when she tells me. Like, that's disgusting.
Oh my God.
You know, there was one time years ago, DeCristo tells a story where these guys went, hey man, hey Tommy, can I get you a drink? And Tommy goes, yeah. Bradfurst. Two Bradfurst, right? Okay, that's funny. You know who Tommy is? Old school caddy's been doing it for 40 years. Yeah, that's fine. You've earned that kind of, and plus the guys knew him. But these are like off the bench jobs that some of these guys are getting offered like a drink.
Yep.
And they're taking a sandwich and crisps, chips, as you call them.
Yes, they are chips.
You know, and like the beef jerky is $13.
In that caddy's defense, it is excellent beef jerky. I'm a big fan.
Well, it's not even beef.
Come on. But it's delicious. I mean, have you had it? It's delicious.
Natalia actually texted me the other day. She says, the player offered something. The player got a Milky Way, right? So for non-Americans, a Milky Way is a Mars bar back home.
Mm-hmm.
The caddy got trail mix, beef jerky, Uncrustables, she put plural.
Yeah.
So it might be one or two. And in a Monster roll.
that'll be $87.50.
That'll be $87.50.
Got a banana. What?
I don't know. So you bring your own stuff.
I don't eat while I'm out there.
You doing?
I don't know. I don't eat. I barely drink much. And I've just started taking Powerade. That's new.
Wow.
And that's usually because they're so insistent.
on wanting to give you something.
Yeah, they are.
And it's either that or offering alcohol. So I'm going to go with the Powerade is probably the smarter play.
A lot of caddies would go with the alcohol, but good call.
Following on from Zabo's story, actually, this is another one. I'm sorry, guys. We're kind of trundling on here.
There's some good, there's some great beverage cart stories about caddies and carts and getting food.
That could be an episode in its own, actually.
It could, actually.
There's a couple of guys who have been banned from certain corporate jobs. Taking too much.
Very true.
They were taking enough for like 3 weeks.
The corporate gravy train.
Yeah. Oh, it's literally unbelievable. Today, this is the last carry story I have. I'm going on the first hole. Guy's off to the right. And I say to him, he's on the cart path. I say, listen, we can drop in the left. This ain't the US Open. And he goes, no, I'll take the proper drop. How far are we? And I says, well, you're hit a 120 shot. He goes, what's the D?
What's the D?
I went, what do you mean, what's the D? He goes, well, what's the actual D? So at this point, I don't like that.
Yeah,
so
I don't like that either.
See, this is where I become a prick.
Yeah.
And I go, I know exactly what he means, but I'm not going to. We don't say that. We don't say, what's the D? I said, well, what's the D? He goes, the distance. So the whole round he talks about, what's the actual D? Now, he's not a player. He's a 15. He's not a player.
He just like to say
the D. I'm just like, I've never heard that.
That would drive me nuts.
Well, he makes par on 18, and he's got his hands up in the air. He's miracle and blah. So we get finished and we jump in the carts, and I'm in the back of the cart, and his playing partner's ready to drive, and he's lying on the ground to the right hand side, and little James. He's going, oh, you got my medals and stuff. Let's go. We got clean the shoes.
He's laying on the ground.
The guy's like, I'm just going to take a second here. And I think he's just like going to, you know.
Did he's you never say, made quit a par being such a life. D, dude?
But he's never made a par in his life. So he's going to lie there and soak the whole experience in.
Seriously?
And he's like, oh, no, every time this thing happens, this happens.
What?
And I'm going, oh, no. Am I going to have to pump his chest?
Staying alive.
You know. Kiss his mouth, you know, and he just lies there.
For what reason?
He passed out.
Oh, he passed out?
I saw he hit his knee up. He's like, oh, no. I honestly went from going, oh, he's just, you know, enjoying himself to.
What?
He says, this happens every now and then. And
he said that or his buddy said that?
He said that. And he didn't have his buddy. The guy didn't know him. He's got his knee up and all of a sudden it goes limp. He passed out. He was unconscious for 5 to 6 seconds. He regained consciousness. Sat up, and someone went, do you want some water? And he goes, no, I'm fine now. He gets in the car, and we drove back up. Done.
Wow.
He goes, oh, about 5 to 10 minutes before it happens, I know it's coming, so I have to lie down.
Huh.
Too much beef jerky.
Wow. You know what? Trail mix, beef jerky, Uncrustables, and a Monster roll. that's what you want.
Impressive. Impressive.
Now, on Thursday, so people listening to this, it'll come out on Wednesday, I'm heading up to the Live Golf tournament in Portland.
I am bummed I cannot go, but
it's a huge thing right now in golf. We're at a crossroads in a way where the world of golf is splitting off. I think it's time to really get into the meat and gravy of it, of how you boys feel about it.
And how we feel about it. Well, I've talked about it at length on this podcast.
You have. Didn't. I told you at the start a year ago, this thing will take over.
Yeah, and you know, I think my opinion has evolved on it. I have changed my mind a couple of times. I don't think it's bad for the game, and I certainly don't blame any player that jumps.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you? We do what we do for livings, for money. Why we do it. We do it for money. At the end of the day, if I am that good to play on the PGA Tour, yeah, I want to win a Masters. I want a measurement, but I'd rather win $4.5 million per week than 1.5. It's simple economics. You do what you do for a living to make money. You give me more money and you make conditions. They're making conditions just as nice for those guys. They get courtesy cars. They get the same luxuries. The caddies are well taken care of. I mean, it's why wouldn't you do it? I don't blame one single player that jumped ship.
No.
You mentioned caddies, right?
I applaud Patrick Reed. I applaud Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah, just because they're off the tour.
Oh, right. All right.
There's a guy called Bob Harrig, H-A-R-I-G. Mm-hmm. He's not really a journalist. He's a hack.
He is a journalist, but go ahead.
He calls himself a journalist. It's like you calling yourself a caddy, bag carrier.
There you go.
The caddies at LIV events have it too good, he said.
Have it too good? Too good.
Not only do they potentially get a nice commission off an enormous purse, but all of their expenses are paid by LIV. Spoke to one of the caddies on European tour, and it includes travel and lodging, shuttle to the course, and meals.
So they're finally doing it right.
Right.
Yeah. That's John Brown, who listens to the podcast, who we caddy with, who
love John,
who actually sent that to me a couple of weeks ago. And
that's
just like,
ridiculous.
Really? Really, you feel that way? Yeah. The caddies at LIV event have it too good. I've fallen out with a few people. Not fallen out, but had arguments over the last couple of months about this. I'm not a supporter or against LIV Golf. What I hate is hypocrisy. We're all human beings, and we are all hypocrites.
We are.
Yep.
As soon as you admit that, like Brando Chambly, Brando DeChambly, whatever he is, right? I would respect this guy if he actually said, I don't like this because this will affect my income. My whole raison d'etre, La Fontaine, you might understand that. My whole job is dependent on the PGA Tour.
Yep.
That's it. No PGA Tour. Brando Chambly isn't drinking Silver Oak on a Saturday, Sunday night.
Very true.
That's it.
Yeah. He's no different than the guys that left, right? He wants them to stay so that his money keeps increasing. He's
so
no
if
different.
He eventually said, you know what, I don't like this because it kind of gets in the way of maybe my potential salary.
Yep.
I would at least respect that. But when you start coming out and talking about legacy and growing the game, no one's growing any game. Neither the PGA Tour or LIV Golf are going
to
grow the game.
Nobody's in it to really, truly grow
the game.
They don't give
a shit
it's
about
money.
The game.
It's always money.
100%.
So that's, I can give you 100 things here, right? And so people understand where we stand. We're neither for or against. I don't think I'm for or against. I like to see the bully getting bullied, personally, because I like the underdog.
Yep.
And the PGA Tour a year ago should have taken this more seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're kind of throwing money at it now with, I mean, Monahan, and I know Monahan, he's not a bad guy, but now he's like, okay, now we've all of a sudden found $160 million. We're going to have purses with no cuts for the top 50 players at the end of the year. It's like, come on, bro.
But how did that change? It's funny that just changed.
Yeah. For a year, that's what he was saying. Oh, there's no competition. There's no cut. There's stupid purses. They're going to ruin the game. And now they've done that.
They're doing the same
hypocrisy.
Thing.
Now, if you look at the Formula One, for example.
Yeah.
Okay. They go to Bahrain. They go to Saudi Arabia. They go to Azerbaijan. They go Abu Dhabi, Japan, and Singapore. Now, Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, right? They've been bringing up the 9/11 stuff with the Saudis and the hijackers and stuff. At what point do you then say, we're done?
Right.
I don't think that was fair to the golfers to be asked those questions.
Right.
And saying you're traitors to your country.
It's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Money is money. When you're bringing the income into your household, your money
tennis,
is your money.
Yep. Right, ATP tennis. They go to Doha in Qatar. Dubai, Morocco, Kazakhstan. Now, I'm not really sure about the politics in Kazakhstan, but it has a stan at the end. So I'm sure we could find something. And they go to China 3 times. Right? The World Cup, all these people that are so against LIV Golf, I really hope they boycott the World Cup that's coming to Qatar in November.
There you go.
You've got allegations of corruption of how they actually, got the event. Michel Platini. For La Fontaine there, and Sepp Blatter, who ended up being investigated by whoever it was, the FBI, and losing their jobs, about the corruption of how they got it in the first place, and then the treatment of migrant workers. It's absolute bullshit. The hypocrisy is incredible.
Hypocrisy. It's money. It's money. And every single person on the PGA Tour has a price, including you, John Rahm, who said, I will never, ever. Every single guy has a price. At a certain point, they all have the price. Matthew Wolf had a price.
Yep.
He just went. Bryson DeChambeau had a price. Patrick Reed had a price. Mm-hmm. Lee Westwood had a price. I don't think that price was very high, but Lee Westwood had a price. Brooks Koepka. Yeah, we haven't talked since Brooks Koepka joined. Koepka. I mean.
So do you boys feel exactly the same way as I do about, you're neither for or against, but I just hate the hypocrisy of it.
I'm for it. I love it.
Yeah, and I mean, we all grew up in different sports, right? There's no sport in the world where a guy doesn't leave one team to go to another team that's offering the most money, especially in football, your version of football.
Yeah.
This happens all the time, right? In real football, as you'd call it.
happens all the time, and yet nobody complains when a guy leaves. Yes, they're mad, but they all understand. And what do they always say? It's a business decision. I got to raise my family. These guys have a certain amount of time that they're going to make this kind of money. And every single person in this room would do it too. I don't care who you are. We would all do it.
Yep.
And that's where the PGA Tour is unique, because it's not like all those sports you talk about. They have different teams, and different owners are willing to play different players, different prices. Well, there's only one team, and that's the PGA Tour. That's the only team. Not anymore. There's another team that's willing to throw money at these players, and if they want them.
If you believed in your brand so much, you know what you'd say to those guys? Go ahead. Yeah. Go try it, because we think we offer the best program, and we'll be here when you're ready to come back, because we do it better than everybody else. That's what a real winning team would say to that player.
Very true. I like that. I think the treatment of caddies is incredible. This guy, what did I say his name was? The hack? Bob Harrick. I want to meet Bob Harrick one day.
And now I do too, because that's ridiculous.
You say that. I remember someone telling me, it may have been Bill Harkey, told me that there was a thunderstorm in Houston 3, 4, 5 years ago, and caddies were not allowed in the clubhouse, so they were put in a metal tent outside. Because that makes sense, doesn't it? They had to get legal representation to get money from the PGA Tour for the sponsors and the bibs.
Mm-hmm.
They had to fight tooth and nail. And I think about my time when I caddied in Europe and in the tour, 10, 15 years ago. It was fun, but there were no perks. I was once in Paris, and it was €15 a sandwich, and they gave you a €5 discount. And the sandwich was awful, by the way. France is great for food.
€15 for a sandwich?
€15 for a sandwich.
That's crazy.
And trust me, if I'd actually bought the sandwich, I would still be chewing it right now. 15 years later, it was pathetic. So I'd rather have the torta, to be honest. So I don't know. I just, money talks.
Yeah.
It's like people talking about social injustice sitting on their iPhones. Let's look at how the iPhone's made, where it's made.
Yep.
You know, it's just hypocrisy. It's
ridiculous.
And
you know, take it a step. Look at it from a caddy's perspective. Would Mike Szabo be ecstatic if some tour player asked me to caddy and we won a major or won the Masters? Yes, I would be. If I won the Masters, I'd be ecstatic. But I'd be a lot happier on Charles Schwartzel's bag a couple weeks ago when he won $4.2 million. If I got 10%, give me $400,000 instead of the $150,000 I'd get for that Masters win, or $200,000 I'd get for that U.S. Open win. I mean.
Money talks.
Especially for caddies. Money. I'd 100%. If I had the option to caddy on the LIV Tour, the LIV Tour, or the PGA Tour, send me the LIV right away.
And no, why can't you have
$120,000 for last place? $120,000 for last place?
Why can't you have both? Why can't you have both? Why can't a guy go over to the LIV, try to make money, and then show up to the Masters and win it? Why don't you want the best product to play at the best event? There's a reason the guys want to go play those things and not go to some of the tour
and
events that are happening, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's really good reason outside of just money, too.
They're independent contractors, and they should be able to go and play whatever they want. If they want to go and play the Scottish, Tartan Tour in Perth, let's go.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want. No one ever talks about how the PGA Tour systematically for 30 years has destroyed the European Tour, which is now the DP.
Yeah.
And the DP Tour is now under the umbrella of the PGA Tour. They have co-sanctioned events, and they've now told if you are playing the LIV Golf, you cannot play the Scottish Open. That's where I'm from. I've worked the Scottish Open before a couple of times. Graham McDowell, Grammy, is a past champion.
Graham can't play.
Phil Mickelson, past champion.
He plays every year, tuning up for the Open.
For any other tour, that shows you what Monahan's doing with manipulation. If he was so confident, and I think it shows you where they are, that they are really struggling. I don't care either way.
I do. Kudos to the LIV Tour. Kudos to the LIV Tour.
I think it's great. I like the idea that you can watch it on YouTube. There's no commercials. I watched the first 3 days from London. It was good stuff. There was great drone footage. The commentary wasn't the usual mundane kind of. All right, there's Justin Rouse there with his wife, and this summer, actually, his son John's going at it. Who cares? No one cares. Let's watch golf shots.
Yep.
We don't want to hear the buddy's story nonsense that you get from golf. So it was much better. I'll tell you one thing to look out for. Nick Faldo's retiring.
I saw that.
I was skeptical too when I saw that. I was like, he's retiring from CBS to what? Do go to LA to live? I mean, I have a feeling that you're going to see him announce again.
He's going to.
I don't think it's permanent retirement.
No, yeah. No, he's the look. That's guaranteed. He's definitely motivated by money.
Yeah.
You have to question Rory McIlroy and some of these players who are so against it.
Well, a lot of those guys are on the player advisory council. And I'm sure Monahan said, look, you got to be spokesman and step out in front of this.
Check their bank accounts in the Caymans because you wouldn't be that against something.
If you don't have financial interest.
If you don't have financial interest, which is beyond what you can potentially win. So, I think for me, I just want to make sure that people understand that it's not I'm either for or against it. I just hate the hypocrisy. I would, when we're up there on Thursday or Friday, Saturday, I'd love to meet some people from LIV Golf and actually get some interviews about what their plan is with regards long-term.
Tell them Mike Zabo is available if anybody
needs
a caddy.
Tell them Mike Zabo is available. Yes, okay, no problems. What we're going to do is move on to mailbag questions and shout-outs now. Mailbag questions. Now, everyone knows how this works. This one's from Richard Pounds.
Dick Pounds?
Dick Pounds.
No, it's not.
I swear to God.
Get out.
Austin, Texas.
Oh, makes sense.
He is... Dick Pounds. He actually... Richard Pounds is someone I know. This is genuine.
I thought I've heard this name before.
Dick Pounds, and he's junior. There is actually a senior.
And this is legit. That's really his name.
I'd swear to God.
It is, yeah.
Four times I've had to text Richard and say, hey, listen, can you send me your driving license so I can show people.
Oh my God.
You don't believe me.
It's too good, Dick.
So Dick Pounds the second says, have you ever met Billy Foster or do you have any favorite stories involving him?
Seriously?
Yeah.
He asked that? Oddly enough.
Because Billy Foster just worked for Matthew.
Do you know who Billy Foster is, Nick? He is a long, long time caddy on the European Tour. And he's a legend. He's like the Steve Williams of the European Tour, and he's never won a major. And he won a major with Matthew Fitzpatrick. So I have met Billy Foster, super cool dude. I met him when I caddied in Scotland in the Alfred Dunhill Championship. Lee Westwood was paired with us at King's Barnes, and Billy Foster, super cool dude. I mean,
he's from Leeds. He talks like that, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah,
he talks like
very
that.
Very laid back. Super cool guy.
He's a massive Leeds United fan, and he talks like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've met him 100 times because I used to work out there. So.
What was your opinion of him?
Oh, great guy.
Yeah, he Lovely is guy. Super good. Dude.
And I'll tell you what: when you have the talent of Tiger Woods, trust me, right? It's about if anyone knows anything about football, you could be the manager of Bayern Munich in Germany, right? Zabo could be the manager, like Ted Lasso, whatever.
Lasso.
Right?
I do love football. Rachel. I do love soccer.
We'll move on to that shortly. But listen, anyone could be in charge of that team and probably still have a chance of winning. So Steve Williams was with Tiger when he won, what, 14 of the majors?
I'm just saying, like a recognizable
so
name.
So this guy
like
was with Seve, Faldo, Nick Price, mm-hmm. Westwood, did time with Garcia. Now he's with Fitzpatrick. He's been over 30 years on tour, loves the grind, keeps it going, and finally got the major under his belt. And he should have had five with Westwood.
Yeah, he never won it with any of those.
Never
bad.
Won it with any of those. Imagine
crazy.
That. Imagine
That's
that.
Crazy.
Yeah,
it is
so
crazy. Super good.
I'm thinking of Ola Thabel as well. I'm not quite sure. There's a great story. I'm guessing you've never met him.
No.
There's a great story about him at the Ryder Cup in France. If you jump on YouTube, first thing you do on YouTube is you find the Glorified Donkey YouTube
channel. First thing you look for, yeah.
Then look for one Lee Westwood, Billy Foster story. And it's a story involving Tiger Woods and bathrooms. So, you know, I'm sure there's probably at least, 10% of the people that listen to this will be like, okay, off you go.
For sure.
Next question is from James Stambaugh, and he's in Paintsville, Kentucky. And he says, do you have any interesting or funny stories about animal encounters on the course?
Oh, man.
Have you had any turkeys attack you?
The turkeys have been vicious. I do have one. I don't know if I should say it on this podcast because there's implications if I do. But yeah, I had an incident with a bobcat. I had a bad incident with a bobcat, and the bobcat was harassing some deer. So it was harassing some deer on the Wee Wee course, and there was a standoff between this bobcat and these deer, and there was baby deer and mama deer trying to protect baby, and the bobcat's hissing at it, and no action is happening. I'm like, I'm worried about the poor little deer. So I was like, told my players, I said, you want me to throw a golf ball towards the bobcat to get it out of the way? And they were like, yeah, that's a good idea. Throw a golf ball. It's like 60 yards away. So I wind up, hum a ball right across. It hits the bobcat square in the chest. Bobcat jumps up in the air, does a 360 in midair, runs off. Sounds made up, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Sounds made up. So now, well, I want you to go back to YouTube after you look up glorified donkey. Look up deer bobcat golf. It's like the only video that pops up. It's got quite a few views at this point, and it is on YouTube. They got this on video. Not only that, they posted it. So there was this national television show right this minute. It's on Fox. It airs like weekday mornings, Monday through Friday, and they put it on that show the next day. And I was tagged on the video on YouTube. I called up these guys. Lovely. I'm like, whoa, 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 take me off that tag. I don't want PETA at my door. I don't want PETA coming after me for harassing animals. But it was crazy.
Have you come across animals in the golf course?
No, I've just seen the videos of the turkeys going crazy.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, the turkeys right now at the Wee course are vicious.
I grew up in Scotland, so I came across a bunch of animals.
Okay.
That
well,
I
what's your
with.
Best animal story?
I work with. I used to work on caddies.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
do you know, it's actually... It's going to be a massive podcast section coming up in a few weeks' time because I posted something on Twitter not long ago. What's the strangest thing you've ever seen on a golf course? And I tell you what, some of it involved animals. This stuff was phenomenal. I would say the most, for me, probably 2 years ago, we're on the Wee course, 13 hole, and there's a deer with the whole side eaten out.
Oh.
Like mountain lion?
Mountain lion. Had to be a mountain lion. There's nothing else that could have done that. It took it was a big deer, and it had taken the whole section out.
That's
and these
gnarly.
Players were like, ooh, I'm up there taking photos going, this is
awesome. Yeah.
I can maybe get a wee piece of that at the back there, you know, throw that in a burrito or something or a torta. Give it a Kodiak. Yeah.
There you go.
So I sent out a tweet as well. Questions for the podcast. This is from Rusty. What's the best short game tip you've got for a weekend player? And he says, asking for a friend. Sure you are.
Short game tip? I say it 200 times a week. I say, you're chipping, wait on your front foot. You never play the ball in the middle of your stance on a chip. You play it in the front of your stance or back of your stance, depending on if you're hitting it low or high. Wait on the left foot. Very simple.
I'm the guy who I've recently tried the claw grip. On my chipping. Oh, God.
On your chipping?
On chipping.
Oh,
cross-handed.
Yeah, come on.
Hey, Fitzpatrick, it worked for him last weekend.
Do you know what? Just ignore that. We're going to move on to the next question. if you answered stupidly like that, come on.
I understand.
He's
that was
asking
my
for
point.
The best tip.
You're having a laugh.
Don't listen to Nick. Don't do
it.
The next
one was going to be Brett Favre one-handed, right? I mean, that's the only, that's what I got left.
What's the best short game tip you've got
that's
for a weekend player?
That's not a good tip.
Hit the green. Go for the big target. Read the putts. Read the putts from both sides.
Hit the green.
Hit the right club for the right shot. You know, blah, blah, blah. There could be so many things here.
There could.
Come on, bro.
There could.
Dude.
Don't get the claw grip. Yeah.
Jerry Lou up at Bannon Dunes, he says, who are your favorite caddies in tour or in history and why?
Wow. I've never really thought about it. I've never given it much thought. I haven't ever had a favorite caddy on tour.
Nick, you ever?
Bones and Stevie, when I was growing up, that was the height of it. So that, and they got the most airtime. Not that they were the best, they got the most airtime. So you really got to see a lot of the dialogue and interaction. And that's really why eventually I thought I'd love to be a caddy, was because of the dialogue you'd see between player and caddy.
That's a beautiful story.
Thank you.
It is.
Okay.
Who's your you got a favorite caddy?
Bones has an AON advert commercial on television now.
Does he now?
I watched the golf yesterday, and he actually has his own.
Good for Bones.
This company's now paid him because he's that big.
Bones is a very talented caddy.
Yeah, I'd have to respect him. I don't have a favorite.
Yeah.
I don't think that caddies are a big enough deal. we have to get taken care of at golf events. You know, feed, drive, respect. Don't talk shit to us. But at the same time, you're not the centerpiece. Yeah,
you're not the centerpiece.
Liv doesn't agree. They're finally treating caddies like human beings.
I applaud Liv for that.
Yep.
Next question is from Kenny Cosey. And Kenny is from, I think he's from Auburn.
Auburn.
Of all the hazards a player has to contend with in golf, I think wind is probably worst for most golfers. Please discuss the speed of the greens. I contend that adjusted from fast to slower and vice versa is the difference between a good round and an average one. Your opinion? I don't believe that wind... Actually, no, you know what? Wind is the toughest thing that most amateur golfers have because they're not used to it.
But what he meant, he said the speed of the greens dictates a good or a bad round. Like he's saying if the greens are slower, you're going to play better or greens are faster?
I think it's the... So when you're a professional golfer playing tour, every single week, the greens are the same speed.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right, yep. So it's basically, that's for an amateur golfer, it's tough because you go from the big course to the wee course to the, you know, here and here, and it's different every single week, and it takes time. You know, the worst question you ever get, how fast the greens? I'm like, well...
What are you comparing it to?
You know,
where do you play?
Exactly. How long is a piece of string? Yeah. I don't know what you're used to, and you know, so... I think wind for sure, because people, I always tell people, men lie, women lie, but the wind never lies. Just because you can't feel it's up there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But wind is
killer for golf balls.
Depends how high it goes.
Yep. Yeah.
You know,
what's this playing? Well, it's into a 30 mph wind. Are you going to hit it? You going to hit it, skull it like you've sculled all your other shots and hit it 10 feet off the ground? Or are you actually going to hit a golf shot now? And I mean,
I can hear you say that, Zabo. I can actually have seen
seriously,
it.
Well, look, you've sculled every shot today. You know, you haven't gotten it above 10 feet off the ground. It's going to play the number if you do that. But if you hit an actual shot, it's going to play 30 yards long.
Would you boys rather, this is back for Kenny Cosey, C-A-U-S-E-Y, Kenny Cosey, Auburn. Would you rather play in the wind or the rain?
Wind.
What about wind and rain? That's the boy. Tell you what.
I don't play.
Give me any greens you want. I just don't ever want to play in wind and rain ever again.
What if it's the one course you've been waiting your whole life to play?
Oh, can you imagine?
Nope. I'd rather not play.
I played Mayakama in wind and rain. Only people on the entire course and had to finish it.
Because you were there,
Because I was there. Had to finish it. It's the opportunity.
Listen,
you want to hang around with us a wee bit longer and you'll get a better course than my comma, mate.
That's why I'm here.
Steve Fox, why do amateur players ask for a line, then choose to ignore it, then look at you in disgust?
Wow, Steve. Great question. I'm glad you asked. And if I had the answer to that, I'd tell you, but I don't. They never listen.
Because people are stupid.
And they look at you. You're exactly right too, Steve. They look at you like, huh, what was I thinking there?
People are stupid.
I told you.
The majority of the population are stupid, and golfers are even worse.
The worst.
I love people looking at me when they miss a putt.
Oh, that's
and
the best.
And you can tell what the look is, and you go, well, what are you looking at me for?
Yeah.
You know, I can't take the putter.
You didn't do what I said.
That's the difference between me and Zabo in that kind of way, where I will be super direct and go, well, what do you want?
I've seen it.
You've never seen me do that?
I've seen it.
You've never seen
me? You kind of, but you tiptoe. You always go, chipping a putt, chipping a putt. You're always going to give that. I know you do, so behave yourself.
No.
We need to go on to shout outs. Now, anyone watching on YouTube, so you can watch, we're probably going to do like an 8-minute clip, and you'll see Zabo, myself, Nick are wearing Austin FC hats. I never, ever thought I would see the day where Zabo was not only loving football.
I love football.
Love it.
Soccer.
But wearing Austin FC.
Marius Haas.
So Marius Haas from Austin, who's one of the owners at Austin Football Club. He was out here 2 months ago. He told me he bought into the club. And he says, what team do you like? I went, I don't have a team. I've got no skin in the game. And then he sent us tops.
They're
even put our
too.
Names in the back.
Yeah, I know.
You guys look amazing, by the way. I just got to say, you guys look incredible.
Big G.
I don't know why you got
Zabo. You get number 10.
Big G got number 9 and I got number 10.
Number 9 is the most important number in the team.
It is.
Yeah.
Whatever. Number 10, that's a substitute.
But thank you, Maris. That was Maris, you're the man. Very nice. Yeah, you are the man.
Any listeners in Europe, any listeners in Oceania, Africa, South America, if you're looking for a MLS, Major League Soccer football team to support, Austin Football Club, that's my team now. They're green and black. I watched them at the weekend. I was shouting at the screen. Not quite as animated as I would with Aston Villa, because that is my real
course.
Boom, boom, yeah. Team. Yeah. But in America, that's where we're at. So, Marius, thank you so much. You. Even sent Kodiak. He sent him some diapers. I told him green and black diapers for the year. Torta. I've got some shout-outs after that, folks. Garrett Beecham, who's local, and then a Katie Hawley. They were on Twitter this week telling Justin Thomas to listen to the podcast. Ian Goodwin with two eyes, IAIN. We just talked to that earlier on. Not on the podcast with someone else. He's from Haslington in Cheshire. He's a Wolverhampton Wanderers fan. So sorry about that, Ian. And also a Kyle Brown. He's from Girvan. He's from my neck of the woods.
Girvan?
He was listening to the podcast. Totally randomly listened to my accent. I mentioned someone from Turnberry. He's like, oh, I used to work there.
Yeah.
And he now works small up world at Skibo Castle. So big shout out to him. Dave Jones, obviously.
Got a shout out, Dave Jones.
As I say, listen earlier on. If you're from one of those 10 states, please let us know and help him out achieve his goal. And also a caddy where we work called Dalton Mitchell.
Yeah.
You know Dalton?
I do
know guy. Dalton is an amazing artist.
Artwork on the whiteboard. Yeah, so we have it where amazing. We work, we have this new whiteboard that they brought in and they put all this nonsense up there about pace of play and all that kind of shite. But every single day Dalton comes into work, he takes the felt tip pens and he draws something. It could be Batman, it could be
different.
It's unbelievable.
It is. He's very talented.
Great guy. So it's great guy. It gives you hope that caddies have talent. Yeah. Beyond
actually
trail mix.
Yeah. Monster sandwich. Uncrossed the rules. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that okay? Can we blend that all and we'll drink it?
Wow.
So yeah, that's all my shout outs. Boys, yourselves.
I got a shout out. Good friend of mine who just started listening to the podcast, Doug Burton, caddied for him for years.
We dug.
He's a beauty. He is a beauty. I love you, Doug. I'm glad you're listening to the podcast. He's doing well. Life is good in Doug's world, and good to have you aboard listening.
And his dad, Richard Burton.
Love Rich, too. Yeah.
That's a great name. Great name. For people that are older, they know who Richard Burton is.
It's no Dick Pounds.
A classic actor. He's not Dick Pounds, but he's
the second.
And I also have shot. So you heard me talk about months ago. I talked about this CEO of this company I cared for. His name is Craig. I'm not going to throw him under the bus yet, but he's the golf bag. He talked to me about golf bags, and I said, the problem with all your golf bags is straps. So he's like, I'm going to get the perfect strap, and he has the golf bag he sent to me. So he sends me an email. I'm going to send you this golf bag. And then I sent him an email back. I said, check out the Real Life Caddy podcast. We'll review. He's like, oh, I've been listening. He goes, congratulations on your 48-yard hole-in-one. I'm like, I'm starting to think people aren't really taking my hole-in-one that seriously. No one takes it seriously apart from you.
Ridiculous.
No, but Craig, looking forward to your golf bag. Also got a shout-out, Dr. Daniel Anderson. He was the doctor that I ran into on 14. Okay. And he did chest compressions and helped save my father-in-law's life.
Dr. Danny, you're the man.
And your son, Matt. So I mean, you're 15 minutes of chest compressions. He was tired and out. His son took over for him. Tough. It was Matt, thank you as well.
If they listen, email us, text Mike. We'll send you some hats.
For sure. And I will get that to you, Dr. Anderson. And I also got a big shout out to Jim Atwell himself. Glad you're alive, Jim. Love you. And Gene, thank you. Very much.
Glad you're alive, Jim.
Yeah, very glad.
I will send you the recipe for the lasagna, but you did ruin that perfect shot that I had on the golf course with Kodiak.
Yeah.
We'll never get that time back, but I'm just joking. Nick?
So, first again, Jordan, Pippen, Shaq, Kobe.
Dear me.
Listen, some of the greatest names, right? Greatest duos, but my shout out, Zabo, Big G.
Wow.
You guys make this podcast unbelievable.
I'm glad you brought Nick along. You just made my day.
So first off, thanks to you guys for letting me come on. I'm a huge fan. And everything you guys do, it's a great podcast. I tell everybody I can about it. And the gear, I got
three compliments the other day.
Nice.
Lovely. Just people love it. So shout out to you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you guys so much for all you do for the thing. Yesterday, Shannon, Matt, Ronnie, Lindsay from Prospect Bay Country Club in Graysonville, Maryland. Good group of guys. Did talk about maybe having somebody come out with the real life and do a little podcast from out there. So Lindsay, if you're listening, send an email in.
Yep.
Try to set that up. And finally, shout out to my wife and kids, who I'm sure will listen to this, and they'll think their dad's famous now because he's on a podcast.
There you go.
Well, Intel tells me they're with, she's with her boyfriend with the kids right now, having ice cream down the wharf. Correct.
So.
Sweet. Excellent. Well, listen, I'd like to have you back on again with another couple of rookie caddies.
Yeah.
To talk about what it's like coming from a normal job into caddying. That's going to be for a different
and
time.
And we definitely got to get him back on when he hasn't had a bad group yet. Your next bad group, you got to contact us because they're out there and you're going to get one.
And you also have to go out and see the brilliance of Zabel.
Now I got to get teamed up. I'm waiting
you,
to get teamed
you
up.
You thought you were mesmerized by the skills this guy has. You ain't seen nothing yet, buddy.
Zabel was the best caddy ever. You know?
You didn't have to say a word. I just was in awe of the presence, right?
Well, you're very kind. But you know what? If you do something enough, eventually you become half decent. Folks, next episode is probably going to be from Live Golf in Portland. It'll be out in 2 weeks' time. Thank you for listening. Make sure and send in your questions, mailbag questions, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all that kind of nonsense, all that waste of your time. Oh, and you know what? I forgot. Listen, check out Definitive Brewing Company, right? That's one thing. And also, a company called Groove It Brush. Okay, so it's called grooveitbrush.com. They sent me this scrubbing brush for your clubs, okay? I'll show it to the camera right now. But this thing is gold. We're going to do a review in this thing. It's only about $15 or $20, and they probably ship worldwide. But you can fill it with water, and it has so many bristles on it.
It's I've been using it because they sent me one as well. You gave it to me. I've been using it daily, and it's rare that I'm impressed by an actual product. Yes. Like golf, golf is so gimmicky with all these silly products and these stuff to clean your clubs and wipe your clubs. But this brush is really absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, well constructed, and it functions absolutely perfectly. Well, it's amazing.
It's thoughtful, and it doesn't have that wire in it that goes up underneath your nails or when you're carrying it, goes into your ass.
Yeah.
That thing is money. I'm using that. Every loop I'm on.
I've been using it to brush my teeth as well, which, you know, I mean, it's multi-purpose. But anyway, folks, thank you very much for listening. If you're new to the podcast, get back. We have 93 previous episodes. Give us a rating, review, share it with your friends. Enjoy your golf, but more importantly, don't get angry because
you're just not that good.